Okay, so we're ready to rock. Welcome to our business session number 4. And this is not just our business session. This is a special session because it is our very last class. I can't believe it's already here. And I always find this time super interesting as well, just to even take a moment to reflect and to think of how much we have covered over the last 3 months. And even though, you know, we still have a lot of time to get stuff done, you guys should be super, super proud of yourselves, because this course, it's not for the faint of heart. We cover a lot, we move fast, but you guys have been incredible. So give yourself some cyber high fives that we're about to wrap up the theory session. Now, today we're going to talk about PR, communications, and business planning. It's not going to be a full 2-hour class. This is a fun, kind of shorter one. So we're just going to have some fun with this tonight. Of course, we know our housekeeping. Now, what are we going to cover in business session 4? So we're going to start off talking about what is public relations. And you may be thinking, well, what the heck does that have to do with me? Well, we remember when we talked about branding in business session 1, you are a brand. Whether you have a business yet or not, you are a personal brand. So with that comes how you relate to the public. So it definitely does apply to you. We're going to talk about how to create a kick butt bio. So 3 different ways to introduce yourself so no one will forget. This, of course, is something as well that you want to make sure that you have your bio done for any blog post you're going to do, for sending out any information to other bloggers or to the media, pretty much to anybody. We want to make sure that you have something that's concrete and you have a few variations of it. We're going to talk about how to pitch media and other bloggers, so building credibility and awareness in your communities. We're going to touch on key messages, so what they are and why they are important no matter what you do. We're going to talk about a communications plan, so how to create a plan to keep you accountable, consistent, and successful. And then we're just going to touch on writing a business plan. So I personally do not think that we all need to have a business plan, because even when we do our business assignment, it is essentially we're putting together everything that we have dreamed of in our vivid vision, we've put it down into action items. So there is a video that will be posted on the member site for the business session, for the business assignment, to give you guys all of the details on what needs to be included in that. But it's a really fun one. But the business plan is just an overview and some resources if you do want to go into writing an entire business plan. So to start off, we always have our quotes. And of course, when we're talking business, you guys know I love Steve Jobs. So this one says, remembering that you are going to die is the best way to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart. I think I might have already used this one before. I tend to use this one a lot, and I like to usually keep my quotes really positive. I don't like to talk about death or things like that, but sometimes it takes a certain frame of thinking to really push you into the confidence to be able to make some changes. And I really like the wording of this quote, because at the end of the day, really the only thing standing between you and whatever it is you want to create, whether it be from this course or whether it just be in your life, is you. So don't get into that mindset that you can't do something or you have something to lose. We are all in the same boat. We all have one time around this world, well, depending on what you believe. But there is no reason for you not to go after it. And if you don't, the only person that you're going to let down is yourself, because you have everything you need to create whatever it is that you want. You just can't let the fear take over. This is another one I included for tonight because I thought it was kind of fitting now that we are at the end of the theory sessions. And it says, when you feel like quitting, think about why you started. And this is one I also use a lot, because we always seem to think, for some reason, when it comes to anything in life, that if it's not good, it's bad. And that's not the case whatsoever. I know I've used the quote before, you know, the two paths towards, or the two mindsets towards success. And successful people know that, you know, it's not just a split road of to success or to failure. It's essentially, it's just going through the lessons along the way. And there are going to be times where you feel like quitting. There are going to be times where everything seems like it's not working or it's falling apart. But that's when you need to make sure to go back to the very beginning. And if you remember in the orientation, I had you write down three things as to why you started, what you wanted to achieve, and to look back at those and remember why you started this course. And you will get through whatever those ups and downs are. Just remind yourself, though, that the downs, they're not going to be forever, and the ups are not going to be forever either. So enjoy the good stuff and just, you know, wait out the bad stuff. And then this is one I used before, but I'm using it again to wrap up our session, is the world needs that special gift that only you have. And I know that, you know, for some of us at this point in the journey, you still don't know yet what you want to do with this. You don't know what, you know, programs you want to run, or do you want to do personal training or group training or nutrition or all of it? And you're looking at everybody else doing things and thinking, well, there's so many people out there doing this. Well, how am I going to stand out? But the reality is there is only one you. There's only one you who has your amazing blend of talents, of perspective, of experience, of your style, the way you deliver information or you train. You know, someone, I'm going to attract one type of audience and you could attract a totally different one. But we both have talents that somebody out there is going to benefit from. So remind yourself that. Don't get into the trap of the compare game. And of thinking that, you know, there's so much saturation out there that there's no way you're going to stand out. You will stand out. But it's just making sure that you are very clear about the things we talked about too, even in the business section. So having that clear brand and knowing what your brand promises, what you stand for, putting together sales programs and different types of offerings that will really go after your target audience and your customer avatar. Marketing, getting in front and connecting with the right people. And then lastly, today we're going to talk about the PR part. So how to present yourself in a way that you feel is authentic to you. So now before we get started, we're going to grab our water. We're going to put our fingertips together for one last time, and we're going to take our three deep breaths, joining together our left brain and our right brain, just letting go of everything that we had to do today and then we have to do tomorrow, and just be present for the class. We're going to have an amazing time. Okay, so we're going to start off by talking about public relations. So what is public relations? You know, I like a definition. So the Canadian Public Relations Society defines public relations as: public relations is the strategic management of relationships between an organization and its diverse publics through the use of communication to achieve mutual understanding, realize organizational goals, and serve the public interest. Well, that's a very fancy definition. Now, when it comes to public relations, we typically think of it as something that, you know, movie stars have or large organizations, but that's not the case. And there are so many different types of public relations. So depending as well on what sector you work in or what you do. So this slide is a little bit more just for knowledge on public relations, but there's different ways. So for example, some companies or organizations will have a PR department for financial public relations, and they're responsible for communicating financial results and the business strategy to the public. So this is something like, you know, if you invest in any stocks, you know, they'll make their announcements of what their quarter has been like and things like that. That's their public relations team communicating that information. There's consumer and lifestyle public relations. So that's more about gaining publicity. So that's more of our movie stars and our singers, or just about a product like a movie would be having a huge PR push. There's also crisis communication. So this is huge when it comes to public relations, is having a person in place who is going to make a statement or respond to something during a crisis. One thing that was huge a few years ago was, I don't know if you guys remember, when the Tiger Woods scandal happened, and that was kind of a big PR mess because his team, they were a crisis in a sense. It was his reputation. He lost millions and millions of dollars in sponsors because they didn't have anything to say during that time of crisis. The most recent one that you could think of too would have been Delta. I don't know if you guys remember when that passenger got dragged off and Delta didn't handle it right away. And again, it was another big crisis when it came to their brand. And since their PR department didn't make a statement and address it and take ownership right away, they lost a lot of business from that. There's also internal communication. So communicating within the company itself. There's government relations. So that's engaging with different departments. There's food-centric relations. So communicating specific information around foods, wines. And there's media relations. So that's a public relations function that involves maintaining and building those close relationships between your organization and the media. Now, cool, these are all things that maybe you're thinking, well, these don't really have anything to do with me, but they actually do. Mainly being out of this list too would be, of course, your consumer lifestyle public relations, because you're going to want to start to gain some public knowledge about your products or your service, and this is in addition to your marketing. Crisis communication, because even though you might be thinking, I'm just me, or I'm just going to be running a personal training thing, knowing in advance how you're going to respond if something negative happens. And that could even be someone posting something negative on your Facebook page or having a negative experience with your product or your service. And that's okay. It can happen. Not everybody has to like what you're offering, but how are you going to respond to that? And then same with media relations. So if you are looking to get more media exposure, which you totally can, you want to start to build those relationships. So how does PR apply to you in addition to that? So no matter if you want to be a one-chick show or you want to open a multinational company, because of course we like to dream big, so if that's what you want to do, put it out there. You should always have the following to sell yourself. So number one is your bio. This is really important to have from the very beginning. You should be able to know how to describe yourself in 25 words when you're networking. So as you're starting to meet people in the industry, or you are going to different events, or somebody just even says to you, who are you and what do? You should be able to feel comfortable being able to describe that quickly. And then you also want to have a longer bio, and that is more 75 to 150 words. And that would be something for blog posts, or if you're pitching the media, or if you're going to write an article for something, that's where you would want to have your longer bio to really flesh out what it is you offer. Secondly, you want to know how to pitch the media. So feeling comfortable in reaching out to media. And I know for a lot of you, this might seem really daunting, like, I'm not interested in doing media, or I would never, like, why would they want anything from me? The media loves content. The more you can actually reach out and provide them with really good content or ideas for maybe it's a breakfast television spot or an article. Let's say you're going to pitch an article around Christmas time about how to make sure that you stay healthy over the holidays. They love it because they're constantly trying to come up with new stuff. So when you give it to them on a silver platter, you have just saved them a lot of work. And it's actually a lot easier than you think. When Amanda and I first started getting PR and getting on television, it was just us sending out emails, just like how we got Jillian Michaels to be on our podcast. We just kept sending out emails and asking. So we're going to talk about how you guys could do that, as well as how to write headlines that get results. Thirdly, you want to develop your key messages. So this is really about maximizing your public relations opportunities by making sure that you're hitting the right points. So I've seen a lot of people who get an amazing opportunity, let's say to do breakfast television within their area. And they don't know their key messages. So they go on there and do a spot, and they're just essentially educating. They're not maximizing it for your business or to help you soft sell what it is that you do. So when you know your key messages, it's really great because you're confident, you're more prepared, and you can always draw back the conversation or the interview to make sure that you're not, you know, hard selling what you're offering, but you keep turning it back to what you want to communicate. So when we get to key messages, we're going to flesh out a little bit more so you can really understand what that looks like. But and that could be whether it's a speaking engagement for PR, but it's also when you're writing blog posts and things like that. You want to know what your key messages are so you are, when you reread that article before you submit it or before you pitch a blogger on it, you know that you have gotten across all the goals that you wanted that piece of material to get across, whether it be business-wise, whether it be educational-wise, and so forth. So we're going to go through all three of those. So we're going to start off by creating your bio. Now, creating your bio, it's very important and it's going to change and grow. So don't feel like you have to be set in stone. And obviously, the more certifications you get and the more experience you get, the more that you are going to have a robust bio. But even now, you could still have a really great bio. You just need to know how to write it. So we want to make sure that we have our personal bio because, number one, it allows you to quickly be able to describe yourself at a networking event, to a client, or to a potential business partner. It shows your credentials and experience as a fitness and nutrition professional. And it also gives insight into who you are as your personality, as well as your brand. So there's a real shift. We're really moving away from these kind of really structured, solid, like, I'm Laura Jackson, a PhD, even though I'm not a PhD, but I do have quite a few letters from different things and educational certifications I've done, but no one cares. They, you know, they want to see that to know at the end of the day, yes, okay, this person does have qualifications. But if I'm going to look for a personal trainer or nutritionist, I want to know a little bit more about this person. Like, am I going to relate to them? What's their style? What do they focus on? What do they like? And we're really seeing that more kind of relationship craving from clients as opposed to just being like, oh, okay, I Googled her. Yes, she's got the qualification. She looks good to go. So this is a great opportunity for you to share a little bit more about who you are so you attract the right clients. So we're going to figure out how to write three different types of bios to get you ready to rock. So this is actually something I pulled. It's a girl called Melissa Casera, and she's got a really fun approach to doing PR. So she has three different ways that she does it. So the first one, and she's really fun and kitschy, and again, that's why I'm attracted to her and her brand. She calls it her cocktail mini. So there's three different levels. Number one is your cocktail mini, and it's a 25-word bio. So this is very important for you to have for when you're doing those short, when you just need to, you know, if you're doing maybe a networking event, you have to get up and just say, you know, in 30 words or less, describe yourself. And I still to this day, I have my mini bio and I still sometimes get flustered when I'm like, oh, but it's nice to know that you quickly describe yourself, your services. Or if somebody calls you or emails you and just wants to know, okay, like, what do you do? What do you offer? Then you can give them the quick, short snapshot. So it's more of a conversational bio. So this is Melissa's and she does PR. She says, hey, I'm Melissa. I work with people who hate promoting their businesses. I show them how to get more publicity and sales while making every step feel like a total guilty pleasure. So to put it more in a little bit perspective for us, I did mine so you could see it. And on your business assignment, you guys are going to do these, write them out for yourselves. So start to think about it. So mine says, hi, my name's Laura. I work with women who want to start a career in health and fitness. I teach them how to coach and build a biz in fitness, nutrition, and wellness while combining every step with a lot of positive self-love and chick power. Woohoo! So in the notes section below here, I'm just going to open it. If you don't have it printed off yet, I also included down here, because I know a lot of you just print the three slides. This is really helpful if you're first starting out to be doing this type of bio. Because it kind of walks you through and some words that you can kind of incorporate in. So you'd fill in the blank, hey, I'm your name. And you could say, I work with, I create products for, I train, I coach, I speak to, I serve people who. And then again, you've got other words here. So love, hate, need, crave, struggle to, desperately want to, or totally over. So you can really kind of flesh it out. So in mine, I say I work with women who want to start a career in health and fitness. In Melissa, she talks about people who hate promoting their business. That's who she works with. So you can start to think about, who do you work with? So you could say, hey, my name's Jane. I coach women who struggle to lose weight after having a baby. And right there, people know that that's who you work with. You work with postnatal and you help with weight loss in that specific market. And then it just fleshes it out to give it a little bit more. I help them. So that's your first part. I help them, remind them, I train them, I give them the tools to, I show them how to. And then you can play with these words to flesh it out a little bit more and make it a little bit more fun. So we always want to talk about what the problem is, what solution you are providing, and then again, a little bit of your personality tied into that. So this will help you with your assignment. Okay, so that's your cocktail mini. The second stage is to do what's called, well, Melissa calls it your femme fatale. So this is a 75-word byline. And this is more for when you're contributing to things like blog posts, speaking engagements, or interviews, when they want a shorter bio to go with, you know, whatever it is that you're talking about. Because your long bio, your 150-word bio, will be a lot more fleshed out. But when you're doing a blog post or an interview, they're not going to post in their writing, you know, or in the brochure, this massive bio about you. So this is kind of the halfway point in between your cocktail bio and your full bio. So here is Melissa. So Melissa Cacera is a PR expert for people who hate promoting their businesses. Through her totally addictive blog posts, free challenges, and on-demand classes, she's here to show you how to get more publicity and sales while making every step feel like a total guilty pleasure. A few of her guilty pleasures: epic movie trailers, trashy novellas, and salted caramel everything. Transform your business into toe-curling addiction at caceracommunications.com. So as you can see, this is not something that you are going to say to somebody when you meet them. That's your cocktail bio, which is conversational. And again, you're not going to say your website name usually in your quick networking bio. But this would be a great something to send out, again, with a blog post, a speaking engagement. You're showing your information, how people can find you and get more information on you, as well as a little bit more about what you offer and who you are. So for my example, I have Laura Jackson is a fitness and nutrition expert for women looking to start a career in health and fitness. Through her totally addictive bootcamp and nutrition programs, weekend retreats, and on-demand classes, she's here to show you how to coach and build a business in fitness, nutrition, and wellness while combining every step of the way with positive self-love and chick power. A few of her fave healthy must-haves: high-intensity intervals, Nike Pro shorts, and inspiring quotes on Post-its everywhere. You guys know that by now. Transform your career into a healthy success inside and out at fitchicks.ca. So again, like the short one, here is the fill in the blank in the notes below. So this will really help you for the assignment as you start to fill yours out. And just play with different things. If you're not 100%, if you don't have anything you're offering yet, you could just make something up for the assignment. But as you start to, you know, create your programming and your personal training classes and your group fitness classes, you're going to have more to include in that little fill in the blank. And then the last one is your full bio. So Melissa calls it your evening gown. This is not our cocktail mini or femme fatale. This is your full done up to the nines bio. So hers goes in the way of, Melissa Cacera is an award-winning PR expert for people who hate promoting their businesses. Through her totally addictive blog posts, free challenges, and on-demand classes, she's here to show you how to get more publicity and sales while making every step feel like a total guilty pleasure. Her delectable advice has been featured on NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox News, as well as glossy magazines and web portals like Glamour, blah, 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 blah. And when she's not teaching small business owners how to write toe-curling blog posts, make BFFs with the press, and land national media coverage, you can find her on her next exotic vacation, penning tasteful erotic fiction, savoring salt, caramel, everything, and working on her paranormal screenplay. Transform your business into the ultimate addiction for your audience, for the media, and for you at CaseraCommunications.com. So this is something to, you can see again, she's just taking what we had in the last one and flushing it out even more. But you know right away when you read this bio, you know who she is, you know what she does, you know who her target audience is, so who she works with. You know her credentials, and some things are going to add to her credibility. So we talked here, she's mentioning a lot of PR. And then she goes into a little bit of personal things about her. So, you know, she loves exotic vacations. So if you're someone who likes that kind of stuff, then this could be something that, again, it makes her more of a person and not just, oh, these are the things that she's done. So my bio, flesh out long. I'm not going to go through the whole thing because you guys can read it on here. But just, again, I took exactly what Melissa had done. And again, in the bottom here, in the notes section, so make sure you print out the full notes for this one. It gives you that fill in the blank to make it really easy for you to create your own. Okay, so after you have your bio done, now we're going to talk about how to pitch media. So to peeps in the community or media to help build your street cred. With the rise in social media, there is not that there's not as much of a need, because the thing is, when you are in the media, you do build a lot of credibility right away, because people, we still equate being on paid media to thinking that somebody is more of an expert in their field. However, with the rise of social media there and people wanting authentic information and having access to people all the time, you can do so much just within your own social media channels. So it's not necessary to pitch, but I still think that whether it be pitching your local media, whether it be pitching other businesses who are doing things or events that you want to get a part of within your communities, or if it's even pitching other bloggers, it's really important to know how to do this and to have your stuff in place, because it's not hard. It just is a matter of doing it. So you now have a ton of awesome, healthy knowledge from everything from group fitness workouts to personal training sessions to nutrition to how to calculate macros to sleep techniques and detoxing and wellness and so much stuff. Now, what do you want to do with it? We want to share it. So if you're going to pitch to me, the first thing you want to do is research the producers or editors. And this is because each section of a television show or of a newspaper or of an online magazine, they usually have different editors that are for that specific section. So you'd be probably looking for the health section or the fitness editor or the lifestyle editor. And once you start to research them, you can find out who directly to contact. Because if you email, like, for example, info@marilyndennis.ca, you are going to be lumped in with people who are just sending in questions and comments, and it's not going to get in front of the right editor. Whereas if you do the research, find their email and send it to them directly, it's going to have a lot more probability of getting a response or at least getting read. Now, if you can't find it on their website, there's usually listed, then always you can just call and ask. So just call the main line and just say, I'm looking for the lifestyle or the fitness editor. Would you mind letting me know her email? Another thing that's great though, the great way to find these producers and editors now is Twitter. So still, it's very interesting. Instagram is obviously very big amongst, it's more big actually amongst people who are, actually women our age, but who are more posting and wanting to view other things. Whereas a lot of producers and editors and television people, they're still constantly tweeting. So they'll be on Instagram, maybe posting a little bit more of their personal stuff. But when it comes to a lot of things to do with their work, you'll be able to find them right away on Twitter. And they usually have in their description, you know, fitness editor at Marilyn Dennis. So if you start to search that on Twitter, you'll find it. And the best thing to do is send them a tweet. I've gotten so much, so many spots just from literally reaching out on social media and saying, you know, direct, like, hey, I've got some really great stuff I was, I think you might be interested in for some upcoming segments. Here's my information. Or is there an email I could directly reach you at to send you more? Secondly, you want to determine what you want to pitch based on what is relevant. So I put that in capital letters because what we sometimes think people want to hear about is not what they care about or want to hear about. And we also want to make sure it's something that's buzzworthy for the media. So things, when you start to think about what am I going to pitch, you want to think about what's currently going on in pop culture. So for example, when Kim Kardashian suddenly started wearing waist trainers all the time, that was a huge thing that was getting a lot of buzz in the media. And, you know, you could then pitch based on that. You could say, you know, I want to reach out to you. I am a fitness nutrition expert, and I know that there's a lot of buzz in the media right now about Kim Kardashian wearing waist trainers. I have, I'm not sure if you know, but waist trainers are extremely dangerous, and I'd love to show three exercises that actually do the exact things that these waist trainers are promising without disrupting your organs or squishing them or so forth. So that's an example of something that would be relevant because it's actually happening right now. The media is picking up a lot, and this is somebody who's saying, you know what, they're not good for you, and these are some things you can do instead. So that could be something that could get picked up. It could also be recent trends, stats, or studies in fitness and health. So every year, the Sports Medicine Association, they put out their top trends, so the top 10 trends in the fitness industry for the upcoming year. High-intensity interval training has been in the top three, like one, two, or three for the last 5 years, and it still probably will be in it again next year. But then you'll see things like Zumba, or at-home fitness programming, or online apps. So you could get that research and then write a pitch or about a topic that is something to do with those recent stats or studies. You can write about the time of the year, so the seasons, holidays, events. Fitness and nutrition and health editors love stuff around the time of the year. Now, you have to remember, though, if you are pitching something like a magazine or television, you can't just be in December pitching Christmas stuff because they work so far in advance in their calendar. So they're planning their Christmas usually in July. But that being said, there's a lot of online publications who constantly need content and they can quickly get that up. So even if you do have something last minute that you wrote, and it's a really great, you know, the five key strategies to navigate through any holiday meal and not gain a pound, and you write it on December 1st, you could still send it out because there's a ton of online options, whether it be bloggers or online publications that would love stuff like that and could get it up. You could respond to a recent article, so positive or negative. So like I was saying, even that thing about Kim Kardashian, the waist trainers, you could respond to that and say, I don't, you know, that's a load of crap, and I don't want people thinking that. I actually work in this field. This is what people need to know. You create your own study or challenge. So some people, that's why a lot of professionals, they actually go out and challenge world records because it helps to give them more PR. And then surprising facts that a lot of people wouldn't know. So these are things that the media really likes. You also want to make sure to write awesome headlines. So this is not just for pitching. This is also for when you are creating blog posts or writing your own articles for your own stuff or for your own people. This has been shown to be the ones that get the most reactions to you. So people like lists. So the top five ways to XYZ, or the 10 XXX you should never do. So let's say the top five ways to lose 10 pounds in 7 days, even though we all know that that's not really true unless it's water weight, or the 10 ab exercises you should never do. You could be talking about different ones, different crunches that pull on the neck, and what you could do instead. People also love secrets. So the secret to XYZ, or how to XYZ with this secret. So some examples of that could be, you know, the secret to losing weight for good. Or it could be how to build a rock solid core that supports your body with this secret, with this one simple secret. Next is steps. So they also love follow these five simple steps. How to get a fierce booty this summer is one that I had. What not to do. So the biggest fitness mistakes women make would be an example of that. So again, it's got to pique the curiosity. And that's where most people will have the most reaction, because they want to know what's on the list. What's the secret? What shouldn't I be doing? So if you just write, you know, healthy chocolate chip cookie recipe, well, that's not going to get anything. But you could say, you know, what is the secret ingredient in this super healthy chocolate chip recipe that actually will help you, that actually will help manage blood sugar cravings and let's say, I don't know, and your weight for the next week. I'm talking off the top of my head. But things that give people that, and they want to know, well, what is that secret ingredient in that chocolate chip cookie? And it could be the secret ingredient is beans. That's what mine was in my my chocolate chip cookie recipe. There's no flour in it. It's beans. But I played off the idea of, like, there's a big secret in this cookie that you're never going to be able to guess. So those are just things to think about. So again, whether you're writing this to media, or if you are just, you're thinking of ideas for what you want to write for your newsletters or for your blog or on your Facebook. These are really great things to think. Lists, secrets, steps, how to's, what not to do's. You also want to ask for what you want. That says what you want. It should say what you want. But do you want to write an article, demo on TV? Do you want to be on radio? So be very clear about what you're asking for. And make sure to say that you know their readers or viewers would love it. You know, maybe mention that you had watched a recent episode or you had read a recent article that they had posted. Something that ties in to show that you know about their outlet. And then also how you've already thought about it. Like, this really ties in with what you're already offering, but I'm taking it in a different direction. Ask for when they'd have availability. And would they be interested in setting up a call to chat further? So you don't just want to send them the information. You actually want to say, you know, here it is, da 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 da. I'm going to show you an email of what you guys can send. But, you know, I would love to set up a time to chat further. Would you be available on Friday afternoon? And a lot of times if they are, they'll say yes. And if they're interested and they're not, they'll say, no, I'm not, but I'd love to set up a time to chat. You want to include your bio to show your credibility and who you are. So we already have three different versions. What I would do is that if I was pitching this, I would put in my full bio. So with all of my credentials, the 150 word one. And then follow up. So just because you haven't heard back doesn't mean they're not interested. They are very, very busy. Anyone in media is very busy. And same with bloggers now. They're considered almost as their own media outlet. So they're extremely busy too, writing, trying to organize their blogs, dealing with their affiliates, their whoever they're doing PR with. So just follow up. So don't think that they're ignoring you, but just reach out and always include another little tidbit, stat, or something else that's going to be of value to the reader. So you're not just regurgitating like, hey, did you get my email? You could just try to then soft sell it again. So for more information on how to write press releases, if you do want to write press releases, pitching different types of media outlets, or how to prepare for interviews, there is this great little download if you want to write press releases. Most people don't really do that anymore, but it is something if you do want to announce something. So this is a template here if you want to use this to pitch media. So the subject line would be your article name. So, dear Miss Smith, my name is Laura Jackson with FitChix. You can include the web link right in there and a short description of what I do. I recently read your article or saw your show on blah, 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 and I have another story idea I thought you might be interested in. And then you could describe your story idea, which section or TV show you think it would be a good fit for, and would you be interested in setting up a time to chat about this? Thank you in advance for your consideration. Here's your bio underneath. So I also like to write in bullet points. So when I'm describing my idea, I like to put it as very simple bullet points. So they're not going to read a huge, long, again, article. You just want to get their interest piqued enough that they're going to reach out to you and say, yeah, I like this idea on, you know, the five ab exercises you should never do. And then, you know, because you've fleshed out what the highlights are going to be, and I'd love to talk more. And then you can really expand on it. But at first, we just really want to get their interest piqued and show how it would be of value to their viewers. And when you, again, when you compare to saying, oh, I've seen it on another, on an article that you've written or a show you've done, it shows that you've done your research and also that it is a fit for their audience. So this is just an example of one that I had sent out. So again, you could see how, like I was saying, I like the bullet points. So you could just read this. And again, you could just reuse this if you want to just fill in what you want to include. This is a great little template. So in addition to pitching media, some tips for pitching bloggers. So media is kind of one thing. Bloggers, well, you could pitch media on these same things, actually. But a lot of times now, media, they are so busy, they're not going to necessarily come out to your classes. But there's a lot of bloggers out there who will still love to come out to your classes, and they'll review them on their blogs. So you can reach out to them and offer them to attend your classes. Maybe it's for a full 4-week boot camp and they could write about it weekly. Or if you're doing a workshop, maybe you're doing a healthy habits green smoothie workshop, you can offer them to join for free if they'd be willing to review it. You can also offer to provide a giveaway or a contest to their readers because they love that. And then again, it helps you get in front of their readership and more engaged in it. So they're not just like, okay, cool, Laura from the Smart Cookie blog went to this green smoothie workshop. That sounds cool. It's actually like, oh, wow, she went to this green smoothie workshop. And if I enter this contest, I can actually win Laura from the Smart Cookies free green smoothie guide. And then again, that just gets them more engaged with you. In your bio, instead of just linking back to your bio, you can also include a special code or coupon, for their readers or to click through to enter their email to get a free ebook. So remember when we talked about in marketing the list building strategies? This is where, so if you are pitching a blogger, what they end up doing is just say you write an article for them or they do attend a class or you do a giveaway, they'll typically put your bio in the bottom. So this is where, again, you could put that special link that clicks back to your website or to your email, and that could say, okay, here's a special code because for your readers only, and then it can entice more sales through that. You also want to build and maintain these relationships. So it's really great if you can start to build a relationship with one blogger who's in your community. And that way you can start to not only just have a one-off maybe article with them, you can have multiple blog posts. And again, like bloggers, like media, it takes a long time to write a blog post. If you have not done one yet, so between writing, formatting, posting, pictures, it's like 2 hours. And for some of these bloggers, they're doing it, it takes up to 5 hours because their blog posts are so in-depth. So if you're giving them, again, material that they can post and feature, for them, they like that a lot. And just remember that anytime you're reaching out, this is your chance to get more clients. So keep your objectives in mind and weave that into the content. And that's going to, when we talk about the key messages, it's going to help you. But anything that you put out there in the world, always think, what is my goal with this? What do I want to achieve? Do I want to get more people on my list? Do I want to promote an upcoming workshop I have coming on? Do I want to promote a coupon code? Do I just want to get my brand name out there? Like, what is it that you want to do? And it's going to help you, again, make sure that you're not wasting valuable PR opportunities just on educating other people. So one way to do that, and an easy way, is through knowing how to develop your key messages. So choose your one key message to bring across. And we have a little key in a bottle. Now, what are key messages? So they're essentially, they're what they sound like. They're the key messages that you want people to take away. They're the main takeaways of what you want to communicate. So I have here bite-sized summaries that explain what you do, what you stand for, how you are different, and what value you bring to stakeholders. So that essentially means to your clients. So why are key messages important? Because they make sure that not only are you prioritizing your information, but you also make it very, very clear. This is something, and again, when you, especially when, if you're going to be doing PR live, so let's say you're doing a TV spot. So breakfast television, any morning show, it's completely live. So yes, you can practice as much as you want, but when that camera goes on, it's rolling and it's showing on TV in people's homes. So when you have things like your key messages, it helps to keep you really focused on what it is that you want to make sure that you're saying. And it also keeps you from getting overwhelmed because you have that information prioritized and it's very clear in your brain. So it also helps to ensure consistency, continuity, and accuracy. They also help you measure and track success. And they keep you focused when you're speaking, as well as when you're writing an article. Because like I said, you have those 3 to 5, or whatever your key messages are, and then you can kind of check your article or your media spot against that. So to make sure, what you want to make sure when you write your key messages, noting these things. So you want to make sure that they're concise. So no more than 3 to 5 per page or per spot. I would say actually 3. 5 is a lot. They're simple, so no jargon or acronyms. They're memorable, so you show this through your delivery. So that could be using visuals, situations, demonstrations. They're tailored, so depending on the audience or the outlet, your messages are very tailored to that audience. So to give you an example of that, so this is an example of a Fit Chicks TV spot I did on summer workouts. So I'm developing this spot, and this was for breakfast television. So the first thing I did was I wrote out my 3 key messages. So what did I want to make sure I got across during this spot? Well, I wanted to make sure that the viewers knew that our next classes started July 6th. I wanted to make sure that our brand came across so that we offer challenging but inclusive HIIT workouts to all levels of fitness. And I want to get across that our brand was really fun and it was really fierce, but it also got results. Okay, so I had my 3 key messages, and this was all about, you know, doing high intensity interval summer workouts. So how was I going to support that? So then this was what I did next. So then I made sure that my spot included things that supported exactly what I wanted to get across. So number one, I did a demonstration of 3 HIIT exercises that can be done outdoors, and I gave a level 1 and 2 option. So this showed that this was outdoor workouts, tying back into my outdoor classes. I gave HIIT exercises, so showing that our brand as well, getting across that we offered challenging HIIT workouts. And then I also gave a level 1 and 2 option to show that it was for all levels of fitness. Secondly, I made sure to share the names of the workouts that we do in class to show that we're fun, but we also get results. So Fab and Focused or the Dirty 30. And then I made sure to tie in client stories to certain moves. So as I was talking about, my example here is I said something like, oh, our chick of the month, Jen, she actually lost 100 pounds. And this was her love to hate move for her core. You know, at first when she started, she could barely even do this. And now she literally is rocking this on our level three. So again, to show that we got the results. And I would probably have done an outdoor exercise. So throughout the spot, every time that things would maybe derail in any way, so just say, you know, the interviewer starts asking me questions about, I don't know, let's say, well, what happens when, you know, could you do this indoors? I would always make sure to say, yeah, we do head indoors back in October, but right now we're outdoors for the entire summer and our next classes actually start July 6th. So tying it back, because the thing is when it comes to these interviews as well, when you're doing written ones, you're just submitting it, so it's easier. But when you are doing things that are live, most of the time the reporters, they don't really know a lot of your story and they don't really know, they don't really know what is necessarily, you know, more than the specific spot. But they also love to help you out and they love to make sure that they're focusing on the right things. So by having your key messages too as well and sharing it with the person doing the interview before you start, if you just say, you know, these are kind of things I want to make sure we touch on, they are more than happy to do that. And it took me a long time to learn that when it came to PR, that that essentially you have to remember this is your spot. You are running the show, so you have to make sure you have to keep on tying it back. Okay, so next we have our communications calendar. So a communications calendar, it's essentially just plotting out all of the things that you want to communicate and putting out to the universe in the next 4, 8, 12, you can go longer. The more weeks, the better, because you can see things, like I was saying, when you're trying to plan out your communications calendar, when you're dealing with media, they are already looking for information for Christmas in July. So if you know that in your mind and you're planning out your communications calendar for the next year, you can put notes in it to say in July, okay, remember to pitch Canadian Living, Glamour Magazine, Shape Magazine, whatever it is. And it will make sure that you're not scrambling at the last minute. So to do a communications calendar, there's so many great free online options. One that I still love using is just Gmail. So Google Calendar, Google Docs, Google Spreadsheets. One thing I don't recommend doing is constantly having things, especially if you're going to share them with other people, that you just constantly have to resend them the file. So for example, like Amanda and myself, we have a communications calendar and it's in our Gmail and we both can see it. So if we want to make a change to it, it's not like I need to email her a new calendar. I can change it when she goes into the calendar, she can see. Or for example, I'm working on key messages. I don't send them to her in email. I would create them in Google Docs and I'd share the link with her. So it's always the most relevant. So it's always great to use something like that, as well as that you can access it from anywhere. So, you know, if you are on your smartphone, you can download the Google Docs app or the Google Calendar app. So you're not just constantly, you know, again, having to need your computer or go to your files. It's just a really easy way. But the thing I like about Gmail Calendar too is that you can set alerts. So you can set yourself reminders when you plug all this information in your calendar to say, oh, reminder 3 months from now, or I have to now pitch something because in 3 months it becomes due, or whatever it is that you want to keep an alert on. It really helps with that for someone who is like myself, who unless I have alerts or have things beeping at me half the time, I don't know what the heck is going on because I have too much going on. But find an online or print calendar that you like to use. And then secondly, what you're going to do is just set aside a few hours and pencil in what days you'll be sending things. So I like to start off by doing kind of a big overview. So putting in any holidays, events that affect your area, class start times, or promotions. So for example, right now it's coming up into August. So our communications calendar, we're not promoting as much because a lot of people are on vacation. But in that calendar, we would have, okay, August long weekend, the civic holiday is on August 7th. Then I would have our classes start on August 8th for our boot camps, the promotions that we're running, and then different events that could be going on that would affect, like in our area, that could be coming up that I could market to. So that would be something for the upcoming class. But then if I'm looking till the year end, I could, you know, maybe you have something like, maybe there's the Run for the Cure in your area, which if you're targeting women, that could be your target audience. There's a ton of women who go out to the Run for the Cure. So maybe that's something you want to pitch and say, I would love to go in and do a speaking engagement at the Run for the Cure for you on, you know, prevention. Or I would love to come in and do the warm-up, which would be great exposure. Secondly is communications to clients. So when are you going to send out e-newsletters or send out flyers or post on your social media? When are you posting to your blog posts? If you're sending out pitches, when are they going to be sent? And what days are you going to follow up? If you're going to run a contest, when's that going to be? So the best thing to do is just sit down for a few hours and start to just plug in all of these things. And again, they don't have to be set in stone, but it's going to start to give you a flow. And a lot of times, 1 month, other than specific holidays or specific events, what will end up happening is you can start to duplicate them month to month to month. So once you have them plugged in, you can go back and start brainstorming on topics. So key messages that tie into those holidays, seasons, your classes that you have upcoming. And after you brainstorm all those topics, then you go back and add the topics to your communications calendar to commit to the dates. So this is really helpful too, even just for what you're communicating to your email list or to your clients. If you don't have a plan in place, you're literally just going to be sending out one-off emails here and there. And as we've talked about before, we need to build that know, like, trust factor. And that is, the more that they know you from seeing you and interacting with you, the more they like you. And the more they like you and the consistent you are, the more they'll begin to trust you. And when someone trusts you, then they will most likely buy from you if they're your target audience. Then you're going to review your calendar weekly to ensure that you're on track. So remember that life happens and different opportunities are going to pop up. For example, you might get a call from, you know, the Kitchener Record or the London Record. I can't remember what it's called. But they might call you last minute and say, hey, we're doing an article, a fitness article. We need a quote. Can we interview you? Well, yes, you're definitely going to take that, even though maybe your communications calendar says you're going to write a blog post today. But that, just remember, it's always a working document, but it's going to make sure you're going to stay on track. And just lastly, that you are accountable to you. So make it happen. And this is one of the hardest things when it comes to being a business owner or an entrepreneur, is that there's no one telling you to do this stuff. So you literally have to commit to it, carve out the time. And one thing I love to do actually for solopreneurs, I've always been a little bit lucky because it's always been a man and myself. So when I've completely, you know, been feeling like I can't do stuff, or she's there to kind of keep me back on track or motivate me and make me accountable. So even within our group of, and even within your class, on the Facebook group, reach out. And if you need somebody, you know, ask for an accountability partner. Say, is that somebody want to be my communications accountability partner? So, you know, I can share with you my calendar. You could share with me your calendar, and we'll make sure that we keep on track and we keep reaching our goals together. And it's going to really, really help out. So for a communications calendar, I just included a little kind of picture of what one looks like. So a lot of times what people do is they'll break it down in between their different avenues. So for example, this has Twitter, Facebook, you could have Instagram, because they do have different, some of them have different avenues of things that, and different ways to post stuff, especially now it's Facebook, because there's so many cool things with Facebook Live, which would be part of your communications calendar, part of your marketing calendar. And it's free, so you could commit in advance that every Tuesday that you're going to do a Facebook Live at 2:00, and you can write all your topics out week by week, so you're not scrambling. You know, when you're going to do your media releases, when you're going to do your email newsletter. So just the main thing when it comes to any of this stuff is to be consistent. So if you can't do, you know, 2 email newsletters a week, it's better just to do 1, but make sure you always have that email newsletter going out on Thursdays. One thing that's very easy to do as well is to pick different themes for days. So maybe you're doing a nutrition tip on Mondays, you do wellness Wednesdays, and then fitness Fridays. So that way you know you kind of have a theme instead of just scrambling for content. And then again, your followers and your clients, they start getting used to you and they start knowing that, okay, well, every Monday, I know that Rebecca's going to post some really cool nutrition information. I can't wait. And I know on Fridays, I get my fitness tips from her. And that's going to help to build up again that know, like, trust. So the last thing we have is just writing a business plan. Now, like I said, we don't get really into this because most of the time when you're writing a business plan, it's usually because you're either trying to get a loan from the bank or you're trying to get investors. Now, that's not saying that it's not a good thing to do, but it still is very much, I don't know, I find it's not realistic a lot of times. And especially in today's world where business changes so quick, because at our fingertips, we have access to building our own websites. We have access to creating a social media following. There's so many things that we can do that it's a lot of times it's hard, but it is really good to get clear on the things that you want to achieve. So like what we thought about in our vivid vision, this is where we kind of make it come to life. So when you guys are doing your business assignment, it's not an actual business plan, but it is a form of a business plan. It's not a typical business plan. So a typical business plan, it's a sales document. And what it's doing is it's convincing whoever reads it that there is potential in your business and you're trying to mitigate risks. So for example, if you took it to the bank and you wanted $50,000 from the bank, you're essentially showing the bank that this is a really good investment for them because this is what you're projecting to happen. You've done your due diligence. You've looked at the environment where your business is going to operate. You know all of the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats. You know, you have your future, your present goals and your future goals, and you're showing how you can achieve them. So there is a business plan template if you want to take a look at how to actually do a business plan. Well, like I said, we're not going to do it in this class. But when you do your business assignment, and I hear this all the time from past grads, they're like, it's crazy when I did my vivid vision, and then when I sat down and did my business assignment, how things actually end up coming to life. Because the vivid vision is the concept, and the business assignment is the actual action steps. And when you leave this program, you will have exactly what you need to do to create the business that you want. And I have no doubt that each and every one of you can create whatever it is that you want, but this is just forcing you to put it pen to paper. And when you do that, the universe, it works fast and it works furious. So it likes action. And I promise you some things will probably start happening very quickly. So with that, we are going to wrap up our final business session. And like I said, there's going to be the business assignment is, it's a video. So we're not going to go over it in class, but I taped a video for you guys to walk you through it. And that will be posted under the member section. So what did we talk about today? We talked about what is public relations. So we talked kind of public relations as an industry, crisis communications, media relations, financial public relations. But then we talked about how public relations really applies to you. And you are essentially your own PR person. You have to be out there pitching media. You have to write your own bio. You have to come up with interesting topics that's going to keep your clients or your potential clients engaged and also help attract new clients. We have to also talk, so how do we do that? We talked about how to create a kick butt bio. So 3 different ways to introduce yourself so no one will forget. So that's your 25-word cocktail mini, your 75-word, which is in between the big one and the little one, called the femme fatale. And then you have your 150-word, your full bio, which of course you want as well, because that's the one that really kind of flushes out your cred when you are, when you're pitching. Then we talked about how to pitch media as well as other bloggers. So building credibility and awareness in your community. We talked about key messages. So what they are and why they are important no matter what you do. And this will really, really help you when you are developing any type of articles, or if you are going to do a TV spot. It's the one thing that I think is the most important thing when it comes to doing any, especially any television, to really go in there knowing what they are so you can make sure that you get the most bang for that PR opportunity. We talked about a communications plan, so how to create a plan to keep you accountable, consistent, and successful. And then lastly, we just touched on writing a business plan. I just wanted to give you guys the resource for it because our business assignment is essentially going to be your business plan. So before we go, does anyone have any questions? I know it has been a lot of information over the last 12 weeks. And like I said at the beginning when we started, I am so incredibly proud of each of you. This is something that not everyone can do. And not everyone will finish. And I'm not saying that in a way to say negatively, but if you want to do this, you can totally complete it. You can totally thrive in this industry. It's all at the end of the day, it's up to you guys. And of course, we're here to help and support you in whatever way you need. Questions, support on the Facebook group, and you guys have been incredible supporting each other. I know, I can't believe it's over either. Every time that I wrap up a session, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how fast it goes by. But honestly, this is just the beginning. So now what we're going to do is we are going to take a moment, give ourselves some congratulations, and then we're going to get back to work. And we're going to finish everything we need to finish to make sure that you have everything done by the deadline. So the final day that we have to get everything is 3 months from today. So that's October 24th. Underneath the member site, there is a grad checklist. If you haven't printed it off yet, make sure you do, because it's great to have a visual to start to check off and make sure you've got everything completed. And the only other thing I just want to remind you before I let you guys go is that when it comes to doing your practical exam, you do have to have your fitness assignment 1 and 2 marked and returned before you can hand that in. So if you haven't done that yet, keep that in mind, because once you're getting closer to the end, you want to give yourself at least 2 weeks to make sure that that can be marked and returned to you before you start filming your practical exam, which is going to be a lot of fun. Okay, chicks, have an amazing night. I'm so proud of you guys. And of course, you can always email me or reach out to me on the Facebook group, and I will talk to you guys soon. Bye.